This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
This show's going off the rails. This is two shows in a row that we have lost our intro. I'm Rage and I'm Blaze. This is getting insane, man. We can't take control of our own podcast. Like to welcome our special intro guests, Janessa, Scarlett, Rochelle, and Raina.
Where's Boomer?
This is getting insane. Okay, so let's get into the show. We are going to travel back in time to 1993. We're going to be doing our first ever King of the Ring pay-per-view. So I'm pretty excited about this show because it's going to be different than, you know, the big four that we've been doing. Your WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Survivor Series. So it's something new. We get the King of the Ring tournament.
You're up.
So I'm very excited. This is the, not this individual King of the Ring pay-per-view, but this is the birth of Stone Cold Steve Austin at the King of the Ring. This is where we learned about, you have your John 3:16. Now you got Austin 3:16, and Austin 3:16 means I just whooped your ass. That's where he made that famous speech, and that is where that all blossomed, and the Attitude Era really started with him, and then D-Generation X. This is when wrestling started really changing. Obviously, we have a couple more years before we reach that point, but I'm really excited to add King of the Ring to our cycle of shows that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and yeah, this is that was a very iconic. Mind you, this show is not where we get Austin 3:16.
And I also like to point out they've done King of the Ring before this. It just wasn't a pay-per-view.
Yeah. And this is the first time we got it becomes bigger. And yeah, so now we're going to be starting to do five shows a year. Up until, was it 95 or 96 that we started?
95 we start getting In Your House.
In Your House.
And I would like to update the audience who's listened to the show in the past. I had complained a little bit about Peacock, but since as of this moment, they have added the In Your Houses that we need. Because I was a little concerned that they didn't have them on there when we first switched over to Peacock. I was a little worried that what would happen when we get to that 1995. But they have added the In Your House. They have added Monday Night Raw all the way to the beginning. They have yet to add SmackDown to the beginning yet, so hopefully they get on the pitch.
Well, we still got a while for that.
Yeah, that's not till 1999. But they've added Monday Night Raw, so I'm going to do my best to try to follow along.
One nice thing is, one thing we were a little worried about when the pay-per-views get a little longer, you know, but luckily because of the Peacock, you know, practices of, you know, making sure nothing offensive is on there, the pay-per-views in the Attitude Era have been shortened to 30 minutes. So,
yeah,
we have plenty of time to do, we will have plenty of time to do these pay-per-views.
Yeah, so about 30 minutes got saved from 3-hour pay-per-views.
Yeah, yep.
And this goes throughout the whole late 90s, early 2000s. So yeah, this will be just like watching a 20-minute comedy on NBC.
Yeah.
So it'll be good, you know?
Little Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Yeah.
Little Brooklyn Nine-Nine. This will be easy.
Yeah.
We can do a whole year of pay-per-views in one podcast.
That's right.
Just because of all the stuff they're going to have to edit out.
Right.
So you think they'll continue saying puppies, or do you think they'll...
Puppies!
You think they'll edit out the word puppies every show? I'm just kind of curious where the standards of practice stops. You know what I mean?
If we're going to get logical about this, they probably are going to edit out the puppies talk because they'll probably edit out whatever it is he's looking at to say puppies. So
this is true. There was a time where women in wrestling were not treated very...
I think objectified very, is objectified the term.
Would be very the word.
Objectified, yeah.
Objectified would be the word. We definitely
getting ready
have
for
a,
these bra and panty matches.
Yeah, we definitely have a different landscape of. I mean, look at this year's WrestleMania. In my opinion, between two nights of WrestleMania, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, they were the top of the whole show between both nights. Women's wrestling has completely changed. What we get to see, they used to hire models. Now they're actually hiring wrestlers.
Yeah, so it's for the better. Definitely for the better.
Because that main event, I thought, was the best of both nights. I thought that match was amazing.
Oh, I think we've already talked about that.
So we're not going to rehash that.
Definitely the best of both nights.
Instead, what we are going to do is, before we start talking about the King of the Ring pay-per-view, we are going to talk about the WWF King of the Ring video game on the Nintendo Entertainment Center, or system. Nintendo Entertainment System came out in November of 1993. This would be the final NES WWF game released. So we are done with NES. We have already started with Super Nintendo and Sega games, but they were still releasing games for Nintendo for people who hadn't made that jump to the new system yet. This would be the final one they would receive before you would no longer get Nintendo games for, or at least not WWF Nintendo games. So this game features 11 wrestlers. Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Bret Hart, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Bam Bam Bigelow, Yokozuna, Mr. Perfect, and the narcissist Lex Luger. You also get a special character titled You, where you can actually change his name, and it basically is your first glimpse. You don't really get to create much. He's already who he is, but you get to change the name of the wrestler, and this is our first glimpse of create a wrestler on any video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's bare bones. It doesn't look like you can even change the color of the trunks. It literally is just changing your name, but you know, this
Well, it says you can also assign attributes to them. So you can.
Attributes, huh?
Yeah, so you can make them stronger, faster. So you can mess with his attributes, but you don't get to mess with his physical appearance. And you do get to change the name of the character. So.
That's crazy.
So it's just our.
It
started on Nintendo.
That's crazy.
We haven't even had that feature on Super Nintendo yet.
No.
So that's kind of an interesting scenario. Also, there was a Game Boy version of this game, I'd like to point out, and The Undertaker and Bam Bam Bigelow were not included in the Game Boy game, but the rest of the wrestlers were. Hmm. Movesets were very simple, basic movesets. Punches, kicks, body slam, suplex, a throw, a drop kick, stomps, elbow drops, and a move off the turnbuckle, which looked kind of like a elbow drop. There are no signature moves, so no special moves. The only thing different between the wrestlers other than appearance was their speed, strength, and stamina attributes. So they did have different attributes, but all their movesets were identical.
I feel like that was also different, because I don't think we've had any of these games with attributes.
I think you're right. I think this is
even on Super Nintendo or Sega. Yeah.
So you also have the normal mode that you can face all the wrestlers, win the WWF Championship at the end. But this has a new mode, King of the Ring mode, where you can actually go through the tournament feature and become the new King of the Ring, which is, I mean, let's be honest, pretty much identical to. The WWF mode, you're just winning King of the Ring at the end instead of the WWF Championship.
Right.
And it just shows a picture of the crown, and you, hey, congratulations, you are the new King of the Ring. Same with the WWF Championship. You are the new WWF Champion. So, I mean, the one thing I noticed while watching videos of this game is the graphics look completely different, actually.
Than any of our games.
And it actually, I think, looks worse than some of the earlier NES games. Very cartoony looking, very oversized character models. Just a very different look. It almost felt like they just kind of threw this one together for the NES crowd.
Yeah, it was definitely weird looking. Although the wrestling animations looked kind of cool. I thought those looked maybe better than some of the old ones.
Yeah, so definitely, I mean, not really worth your time to go back and play this one. Just my opinion. But there's definitely better wrestling games out there to go back and play. Even better NES games, it looks like. But it does have a few things that kind of... Hey, first time you... A glimpse of creative wrestler, which isn't full-throttle creative wrestler, but
extremely
still
ahead of its time.
Yeah, very interesting to see that on there.
I don't know if we get that again until 64.
Yeah, I don't know... Yeah, because I don't think there was any creative wrestlers on any of the other Super Nintendo games. So I think you're right. I think Nintendo 64, maybe PlayStation, might be the first glimpse of creative wrestler we finally get. I'm not sure. It might have been even WCW versus NWO, or was it WCW versus the World, maybe? Might have been the first glimpse of creative wrestler. I'd have to go back and look, but... I remember they had a really good creative wrestler where you could literally change the color of outfits of current wrestlers, and it was a very good game, very well-made game on Nintendo 64, and then, of course, WWF ended up taking over the THQ, and then that's when we got WWF games of that similar nature.
Yeah.
But they originally started off as a WCW game maker, so... but anyhow, that is our video game portion of this, and we will go ahead and move on to the King of the Ring pay-per-view, and hopefully you guys are enjoying these video game throwbacks. This will be our last one of the year, 93, so we won't have any more until 94, because we've ran out of video games already for 1993. This was our last one.
In fairness, nowadays, you only get one video game a year, so... You know, they were kind of really pushing out wrestling games back then.
Yeah, they were punching them out, but they were throwing them on different consoles. They were making, the biggest thing is the reason we got multiples is because it seems like they're making them for different consoles. Like the Sega Genesis had a different version than the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo version. And you had all these different, and we had I think the one was a Sega CD game or whatever. So I mean, they're not releasing the same game on multiple systems, which is what they eventually do nowadays. When you get a WWE 2K, which, by the way, did you see the,
I saw there's a new one.
2K22 is coming out.
Simulation one.
They showed just a glimpse of it, but it looked pretty.
Oh, I want to play it.
Looked pretty for next gen. They got the next gen wrestling game coming out. I'm pretty excited, but they showed the teaser trailer at WrestleMania. Rey Mysterio was featured in the trailer, and it looked very, very good. So I'm very excited to play the newest wrestling game. But yeah, you know, nowadays you buy a WWE 2K game, it's on PlayStation and it's on Xbox. So it's just kind of one of those things that they don't do that anymore where you get your own game and then they get their own game. You just don't see that anymore.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on with the pay-per-view. Okay, so the first match is a King of the Ring tournament match between Bret the Hitman Hart versus Razor Ramon. I thought this had a lot of great spots. It was just a really well-rounded match. I mean, I think we've seen Bret in better matches, but this was a very good match, definitely to start the show off. I also really, really enjoyed the ending. The way that Razor was about to suplex Brett off the top rope.
Almost like a German suplex of some sort.
And Brett counters it in midair and turns it into a pretty much a splash, if you'd, you know,
call
it that, into a pin. It was a very unsuspecting ending, which was really neat to see. And I guess when you have guys wrestling multiple matches in a pay-per-view, they don't always want to end the match the same way. So I think we'll get this a lot today on our show, where they're going to find different ways to end it than just your typical, like for Brett, it would be the sharpshooter and all that. Razor also had the Razor's Edge on Brett before he countered it into like a crucifix pin. There was just a lot of good stuff in this match. It was a good, solid opening match that I would have to give 4 out of 5 failed Razor's Edges.
Yeah, this was a good match. Two very good wrestlers in the ring showing up what they can do. I liked it as well. I really liked the ending. I liked, it was kind of cool. Like I said, it was a modified German suplex off the top rope, and Brett just kind of like turns it around and just lands on him for like a splash pin. Really good match. I liked it. I'm going to go with 3.5. 1, 2, 3 kids.
Ah, cute. So yeah, during the match, we get 1, 2, 3 chants from the crowd, and that is referencing to a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw before the King of the Ring pay-per-view. You had Sean Waltman started debuting, and in his first match on Monday Night Raw, he debuted as the Kamikaze Kid and lost to Doink the Clown. The following week, he lost again as the Cannonball Kid. And then finally, his third week on the show, he faced Razor Ramon, and he was just simply known as the Kid. And he ended up getting Razor Ramon in a quick 1-2-3. It was a big surprise, big upset. And so the announcers ended up calling him the 1-2-3 Kid, which is where his name came from. So the crowd, obviously engaged in the story and the Monday Night Raw, starts chanting 1-2-3 out in the crowd, which was very, very cool to see, because we now have Monday Night Raw we can kind of follow along and watch these shows with. So
right. Yeah, it was interesting. I liked the chanting.
Yeah.
It really shows that WWE fans have been very vocal throughout the years. It's not a new thing.
And they're paying attention, so that was pretty
they
cool.
They are.
So
soon we'll be getting, holy shit!
Yes, those chants will eventually come. We also, on Monday Night Raw, got some Sean is Gay chants, which I really didn't appreciate, but yeah, there was some Sean is Gay chants, and Bobby the Brain Heenan said, oh, listen to the crowd, they're saying Sean is great.
Bobby being great.
So, okay, let's keep this rolling. Second match of the night is between Mr. Perfect and Mr. Hughes. So they also show a little video package. It looks like Mr. Hughes is feuding with The Undertaker currently, and he is actually holding on to Paul Bearer's urn because he took it from them during a WWF Superstars episode. So they're showing that, you know, he's got this urn. This match, I don't know how to say it. This match wasn't the worst in the world, but there was some clunky things that made this match kind of bad. Mr. Perfect made a few things look really good, but then there was a few parts that just looked really, really bad. You can tell Mr. Hughes was not that great. Mr. Perfect did what he had to do to make this match look good.
Yeah, there was a couple impressive, like, Mr. Perfect tossing Mr. Hughes over his shoulder, Mr. Perfect doing an arm wrench flip on Mr. Hugh Hefner, and that was pretty good too. But other than that, it was Mr. Hughes is not a good wrestler.
Yeah, he was kind of clunky. There was a spot where looked like Mr. Perfect was, if I had to guess, looked like he was coming off the ropes and he was about to get body slammed. And the body slam just never happened. They kind of collided and it was just awkwardly, it was just a very awkward moment in the match.
Yeah.
Where obviously somebody missed something, and as good of a wrestler as Mr. Perfect is, I'd like to think that it was probably Mr. Hughes that missed something there.
And I also want to complain that Mr. Hughes does not know how to cheat properly. You know, I expect my heels to be good at being bad, and this guy just grabs the urn right in front of the ref and just whacks Mr. Perfect with it. Just terrible heelmanship. He needs to go back to heel school and learn that you don't do that in front of the ref.
Yeah, it was very blatant. It wasn't even, like, hidden. the best part about this match is the fact that the next match in the tournament, we get to see Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect.
Oh, that's going to be good.
And I really hope that's going to be an amazing, amazing match.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to have to give this 2.5 pairs of sunglasses.
2.5 pairs?
Which, I will say, the most impressive thing about Mr. Hughes was not losing those shades during the whole match. Never even lifted up. You never saw his eyes. I'll give him 5 stars for that. Not for the match. Keeping the shades on during a wrestling match.
I'm going to give this to Mr. Hughes. Go back to school.
Wow.
Heel school. Bad guy.
Okay, so we'll keep this ball rolling. And I'm really enjoying the whole tournament format. This is
I
cool.
love tournaments.
It's kind of like WrestleMania 4 all over again.
I didn't love that. But I love it in the King of the Ring.
Yeah. Okay, so the third match of the night is between Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam.
And I'll tell you what, I didn't expect much out of this match. And not that this match was like blew me away, great, nothing. But there was actually a couple really fun spots. Very impressed that Hacksaw Jim Duggan body slammed Bam Bam, and it wasn't even a, you know, sometimes when you see like a half-ass body slam because guys are too heavy,
yeah.
He literally got him upside down and freaking body slammed him. It was very impressive. So
well, Hacksaw is a strong guy.
Yeah, so there was a lot of fun spots in this match. I wouldn't call it a greatest match ever or nothing, but this actually pleasantly surprised me.
Yeah, it was slightly better than we
oh, yeah, feared. Definitely.
Because I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge Hacksaw fan.
Yeah,
he very rarely does anything all that impressive in the ring.
A lot of his matches are short, and he panders to the crowd.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the matches, he's sticking his thumb up, oh, you know, just you getting USA chants and ho, and it just not a lot of great stuff.
I don't know which is worth him or Hulk Hogan.
But I did like the way this match ended with Duggan trying to do his four-point stance. He looked like he had control of the match. Bam Bam gets out of the way. Duggan hits the top turnbuckle with his head after charging Bam Bam. Drops on the ground, and Bam Bam goes up to the top rope and does his flying headbutt. So the way this ended was pretty creative. I really liked the ending of this match. And honestly, I really enjoyed this match, like I said, a lot more than I thought I would. I saw these two guys, and we've said this before on the podcast, that Bam Bam, his early matches, he was very athletic for a big guy. And I feel like second run with the WWE, because obviously I think he left and came back. Now that he's back with the WWF, I'm sorry. Now that he's back, I feel like he's older and more overweight. And I don't think he's been doing a lot of the stuff we had seen him do when we first saw him in the late 80s. So I think he's lost a lot of that, his mobility that he used to, you know, do the cartwheels and do some crazy stuff that you didn't really see big guys do. It's just a different Bam Bam at this point in his career, it seems like. But this match impressed me. Like I said, the body slam that Duggan did on Bam Bam, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, that's a big boy. So I'm going to have to give this 3.5 bald head tattoos.
Okay. I'm going to give this and I agree, this was, like I said, a lot better than it should have been, I guess. I'm going to give this 3 bam, 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 bam.
3 bam, bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam.
You should have stopped at 3, though, since you...
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
Fair enough. Okay, so there we go. And like I said, this was a decent match. I was pleasantly surprised. So let's keep going. Okay, so the next match is the final match in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament. It is the Narcissist Lex Luger versus Tatanka, and both guys in this match are undefeated. So you knew this match was going to end in a certain way. Otherwise, both undefeated streaks, one of them was going to be in jeopardy. So, of course, what they do here after a very solid outing is 15-minute time limit expires, and there's no winner. But also, before the match, they forced Lex Luger to put on a, like a protective, sleeve.
An elbow, elbow pad.
Well, it's for his forearm.
An armband.
So they put on this forearm specifically because, he has been hitting people with his forearm with, this steel plate that has been in his forearm. So he's been knocking people out. So they told him he had to put it on before the match started or he was going to be disqualified. I thought this match was a very, very solid match. Unfortunately, it ended in a 15-minute time limit. But I kind of understood why they did it. But I just think it's funny because this is very reminiscent to what they did with Hulk Hogan and Andre in WrestleMania 4 during the first round of that tournament.
I will say, though, this was a much better way to do it, because in that Hulk Hogan and Andre match, one of them should have got disqualified where the other one didn't, but they did a double disqualification that made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, basically, this one made a little bit more sense. It protected both guys' winning streaks. And then, of course, Lex Luger took the protective sleeve off and hit Tatanka over the head at the end of the match. After asking for 5 extra minutes, he didn't get granted the 5 extra minutes. Bam Bam Bigelow will get a bye.
I don't think you were paying attention, Rage. He just wanted to, you know, like, fist bump. And Tatanka just moved his face in the way. And he accidentally hit him with the forearm. So, there was nothing wrong there. That just, Tatanka just is stupid.
So anyhow, I gave this match a solid 4 steel plates in your forearm.
Okay.
I thought it was a very well done match. I hate the fact that it ended in a draw, but I understood why.
I'm going to go ahead and give this about... I'm going to give it a 3 forearm fist bumps.
Okay. Okay, so the next match is the semifinals of the King of the Ring tournament. Bret the Hitman Hart versus Mr. Perfect. And this is an instant classic. This is an amazing match. Great emotion and wrestling moves going on. The way this match ended was incredible. I don't know how to describe it. It was like a suplex.
That wasn't the end, but yeah.
Towards the end. It was towards the end. A suplex going outside, but they don't let go of the suplex position.
Even when they land outside, they stay interlocked.
They both land outside, interlocked, as if they were still about to do a suplex. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
I don't know if I have either. It was pretty cool. It was pretty crazy.
So the intensity of this match was dialed up. You could tell, even though Mr. Perfect is the face in this match, you could definitely tell he played the heel role.
Yeah.
For sure. There was a couple moments where he put his foot on the ropes to give leverage on a submission hold and just different things that a heel would do as opposed to a face.
And he clearly went to heel school because he actually did it while the ref was not paying attention, unlike Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, so this was definitely a very well done match. I was very impressed, and this really should have been... And I'm not taking away from the main event. Well, we don't think it'll be the main event of the show, but the King of the Ring finals is going to be Bret Hart versus Bam Bam Bigelow, and it just really felt like Mr. Perfect versus Bret Hart would have been a better finale. Now, granted, we haven't watched this match yet, so I can't really dog on it, but I don't know how you top that match.
I don't think you do. I think they made a mistake here. It should have been Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect in the finale.
Yeah, so this was definitely, definitely probably going to be match of the night unless something changes and something really blows us away, because this was phenomenal. I'm giving this 5 out of 5 perfect matches.
Yeah, this was a really good match, a decently long match as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, that spot where the suplex over the rope and just a lot of submission holds going back and forth. Just so much good in this match. And it kind of ends up, and we kind of expected these kind of weird finishes. It ends up with a roll-up, a schoolboy
reversed roll-up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to get to that. But Mr. Perfect does a roll-up on Bret the Hitman Hart. And Bret the Hitman Hart manages to, like, just do a little reversal. Just a little nudge. And he gets the 1-2-3 from the roll-up. And then after the match, we thought Mr. Perfect was going to just go full heel. I don't know about you, but I was kind of getting the vibes that Mr. Perfect was going to go full heel and possibly attack Bret. He seemed very frustrated, and then he comes back in the ring, and instead of attacking Bret, he gives him a handshake. So,
I think that was the story they wanted to play, was, oh, did Mr. Perfect go back to his heelish ways? But they were just kind of playing on that, but in the end, they showed the handshake and the sportsmanship between the two, keeping both men face. But they definitely danced that fine line of, is Mr. Perfect a heel again? But they didn't really go over the edge with it. They just kind of treated it like he really, really wanted to win this match. It was very well done. You couldn't ask for a better match. And this was a... This is about as good as it gets when you're looking for a wrestling match. It's about as good as it gets.
Right. Yeah, it was good. It was very good. Liked it a lot. I'm going to give it 4.5. Excellence of executions, maybe? I don't have anything...
Definitely.
It was just a good match.
Okay, so that is going to conclude our first half of King of the Ring. This is a close to 3-hour pay-per-view, so we're definitely going to have to split this into two shows. But so far, a couple solid matches, one that was kind of and one that surprised us. So far, this has been shaping up to be a very decent pay-per-view. The one thing I will notice or point out is that it's all been King of the Ring matches. They're now all the way to the finals, and all we have seen is King of the Ring matches. Keep in mind, we have a WWF World Title match on between Hulk Hogan and Yokozuna. We have an Intercontinental Title match between Shawn Michaels and, I believe, Crush. And I believe they're advertising an 8-man tag match with the Smoking Guns and... the Steiner Brothers versus I believe Money Inc. and somebody else. I can't remember who they said they were facing. But the point is that at any time, they could have used any of these matches to help break this tournament up. But they have barreled through. We are now at the finals of the tournament, and we don't know. Hopefully, maybe we'll get a match to break it up now. Because Bret Hart has already wrestled two matches. So has Mr. Perfect. Two matches on the card. And he's about to wrestle a third match. So hopefully they save the finale of the tournament for a couple more matches. But you'd have thought there would have been a match in between the first round and the second round just to kind of break it up. And there hasn't been. So that's kind of an odd...
It's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd format, the way they're doing things. But, hey, whatever. But hopefully we get a good finale. It looks like the rest of our show is going to be the title matches and then the finale to the King of the Ring. You can get that on part two. But for now, let's go ahead and
plug. One second.
Sure.
First off, I would like to say that I feel like instead of these matches that we are getting, I feel like they should have just made this a 16-man tournament. You know, go with this full 16-man tournament and just make the entire pay-per-view the King of the Ring.
Yeah, but you still have a WWF title. You still have a Intercontinental Championship. You just have other stuff to sprinkle
in. I just feel like this pay-per-view doesn't need to be about those.
Okay, well,
that's my opinion.
And you're going to be very disappointed because I think all the King of the Rings are this way.
Well, okay. Well, that's dumb. Anyways, I also wanted to point out is I don't think we've mentioned this, but they've kind of done something cool. During some of these matches, they've actually had like little promos while the match is going on from the winners of the different matches. I believe they talked to Bam Bam.
They talked to Bret Hart. Like a pitcher-in-pitcher.
Yeah, it was a pitcher-in-pitcher. It was during the match. It was kind of cool. They kind of zoomed out so we could see the action as it was going on. And then they had a little promo with Bret Hart and Bam Bam. Bret Hart was talking earlier about how it was during the Mr. Perfect match, and he was facing Mr. Hughes, and he's like, "Well, I kind of think that I would prefer, endurance over power. So, you know, I would like to see Mr. Perfect win. I think we'd have a good wrestling match."
Yeah, and then Mean Gene kind of turned that into a thing.
I guess we didn't talk about that, too.
He was kind of poking the bear during a pre-match interview before the Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart match, where he was kind of being a dick. He's like, Bret Hart, you said you wanted to wrestle him, and
He
was the easier opponent. Isn't that what you were saying, Bret? And I was like, shut the fuck up, Mean Gene.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a very interesting moment with Mean Gene Okerlund. It turns out that he must have known he was going to follow Hulk Hogan to WCW, and he was like, fuck it, I'll do what I want.
But I just wanted to mention that I thought those picture-in-pictures was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. Okay, so let's go ahead and plug the pluggables.
All right, you can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions, on Facebook, the Instagram, the YouTubes. And you can find me on the Twitters at Dragon Blazer Pro. And I wanted to bring something up. We need those 5 stars, okay? On the iPhone, the iTunes.
You mean like frog splashes, like RVD?
No. Well, yes. They're 5-star frog splash ratings on the iTunes. And you know, review, give comments. We would love to hear all that. I'm pretty sure all the other stars don't work. It's just 5 stars. So yeah. just click on the 5.
Yeah.
Click on the 5 because that's the other ones don't work. Yeah. Just ignore those.
That's all we care
about.
Yeah.
We don't like the other. Yeah. We don't like those other stars. We just like 5 of them. 5 frog slash stars. 5-star frog flashes. Yeah.
Think RVD when you're rating us.
That's right.
Okay, you can find The Rage and Blaze Show on Facebook, at The Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. And that is going to do it for our King of the Ring coverage part one. We will be back for King of the Ring part two, finish up this tournament, and see Hulk Hogan's final pay-per-view match in the WWF until I believe they get the F out of there.
Na 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 na.
Well, it was after after WCW closed us down. I don't know if the F was out of there or not yet. I think the F might have still been in there when he came back.
I don't remember.
I'd have to look.
Well, that was around 2001. When did he come back?
They shut WCW down in 2001. So he came back after WCW closed down. I'm trying to remember when they got the F out. Was it 2002?
Maybe.
Anyhow, not important. Point is we're about to see the end of an era of Hulk Hogan before he jumps ship to WCW and before he creates the NWO. All right, so this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.